Hello and welcome to Horrible Friends. It's a podcast and book club format about horror movies. And this week we have The Happening from whatever year it was, because I didn't write that down. Starting off, my
2008.
Name 2008.
2008.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Starting off, my name is Kyle.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jarvis.
And the way this podcast is going to work is we're going to go ahead and give you a little bit of history about the podcast. We're going to talk to you about the movie via the plot, if there is one, and then we're going to tell you how we feel about the movie afterwards, and probably during as well, actually. And then we'll leave you with a little spoopometer, whatever you want to say. And then that's about it. So, starting off, Dan, what kind of history we got?
So The Happening did come out in the year 2008. It is from director and writer M. Night Shyamalan, who's best known for movies like The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and Split, among many other.
I think this was like the first inkling that M. Night could fail hard. Because yeah. Sixth Sense was huge. And then The Village, I think, was the immediate follow-up, right?
Yeah.
And that went to mixed reviews.
Yeah,
that was mixed reviews. But like looking back, like I didn't like it at the time, but like I actually think the twist was pretty good. And then this came out.
Yeah.
And the entire M. Night narrative changed.
My question is, did The Happening cause the 2008 financial crisis and the housing bubble burst? I'm just
so glad you brought that up. Really glad you brought it up. We're going to talk about it.
Nope. Nobody else is talking about it. Nobody's saying anything about it. It's on everyone's mind, though.
Okay. But how did everyone feel about Stuart Little?
Positive vibes. Was that also 2008?
No, that was
2001. I was gonna say, there was no way that was 2008.
No, that was M. Night Shyamalan. He helped write the screenplay for it.
Yeah.
Really? I know he just didn't.
Yes, he did. I just wanted to know how everyone felt about Stuart
Little.
It's
an absolute masterpiece.
I loved that movie.
That's it. That's all we have to say.
That's it. That's all. All right, great. I just wanted to get some vibes. Okay,
hey, well, guys, let's. What a twist.
What a twist.
Speaking of twists, 2008, because it's twist. All right. 2008 horror movies that we could have watched. So we could have watched Martyrs. Love that. The Strangers and Midnight Meat Train. I've heard good things about that movie. That's with Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard good things about it. I
saw the movie titled that, but Bradley Cooper wasn't in it. And I think it was very different.
Yeah, I watched a movie titled that. It was very different than the Bradley Cooper one, I assume.
Was that on Cinemax?
That's all I'll say.
Okay. We've been talking about that one for a while. That's going to get on the docket.
Yeah.
2008, we've said it before. Really, really strong year for horror.
So the budget for this was around $48 million. But in the box office, it pulled around $163 million total worldwide. So pretty good.
Yeah.
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 Well,
it was a huge hit.
But that was just everyone seeing it for the first time and realizing, oh, no.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, like, the notoriety that it got. Like, I mean, everyone needed to see it because of how bad the reviews were.
Well, also at the time, I feel like in 2008, if I remember correctly, when the trailers came out, that was before, you know, nowadays where trailers just pretty much give you, like, the whole movie. So, like, what you saw in the trailers actually made you interested, at least how I remember. Because I went to see it, and I remember leaving very disappointed.
Everyone did. Yeah.
But all the trailers I saw, I was like, this movie looks like it's going to be like a scary good time, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay. I will tell you right now, anytime I see Mark Wahlberg in a movie, automatically I'm like, that is going to be a dog shit movie.
Like, incorrect. Absolutely incorrect.
What about The Departed?
Okay, I don't really consider him a major actor in that movie.
He's a huge actor.
But he's a big actor in that movie.
So, I mean, I will say that.
I mean, he's just a guy with a Boston accent. Like, he's just playing himself. He's just a dickhead with a Boston accent.
And yet he played a douchebag with a Philly accent in many other films. So,
but not this one. He was not a douchebag in this.
Of all the movies to not have a Philly accent, he's done like four or five that he had to like feign a Philly accent, which is not a hard one to do. Like, it's like a mixture of like just dumb and like extended vowels mm-hmm. in a tube like fashion.
Chogi?
People say that the Delco Yogi. That Delco accent is pretty.
Yeah, the Delco. Well, go birds. Go birds.
Go birds. I will say, here's a fun piece of trivia. Apparently, M. Night Shyamalan wrote the screenplay with Mark Wahlberg in mind for the lead role. He wrote.
Things are making sense.
I didn't tell Mark Wahlberg, you know, anything about the script. No. I had you in mind for this. Oh, can I read it?
How about I give it to you one card at a time?
How about I give it to you after you've agreed to sign on and can't back out?
I really feel like nobody gave him any direction from wardrobe because they're like, all right, here's your character. You're a science teacher. He's like, got it. Nothing else. And he just ran to the nearest Goodwill and got a sweater vest.
Do you own a sweater vest? Great. You're hired.
Speaking of the acting capabilities of Mark Wahlberg, the line, be scientific, douchebag, was improvised. Would you believe?
Oh my God. Wait, no way.
My favorite.
No acting chops of my boy coming through.
Absolutely wrote that one down. Oh no, toxins? I need a second. I need a second. I need a second. Now be scientific, douchebag. Holy shit. Unreal. Right? So it's like hard to talk about this movie without like directly quoting it, which I typically find lazy. I mean, it's like, you know, before the internet when we just like would yell Anchorman lines at each other, like before.
Yeah, before.
Before social media before, was really what it
definitely
is.
Definitely yeah. not yeah. now yeah. Before, or constantly. The before times. Yeah.
So it feels lazy, but like you can't not do that with this film. The dialogue is just unbelievably bad.
What? No.
Ma'am, no.
I think we all did really good there. That was actually pretty good. That was a good read.
We should be casting a Shyamalan movie.
So the runtime for this, thankfully, is only around an hour and 31 minutes.
Thank God.
Thank God. Or it honestly, again, I think this is the second week in a row I'm saying this. Probably could have been a half hour shorter and it would have been perfect.
Uh-huh. But probably could have been an hour and a half shorter.
Huh. How dare you? This movie is a national treasure with actors such as Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, the Funky Bunch being Zooey Deschanel and John Leguizamo. So, yeah.
Yeah, watching this again, I forgot John Leguizamo was in it. And that just really bolstered my theory of all of these actors were asked to be in this movie before they read the script.
Kyle, can you please say that actor's name just so we have all four samples?
Yeah.
John Leguizamo.
Okay, good. You're all wrong. It's John Leguizamo. Is it not?
You know what? Let's just... I say we don't look it up, and we just
I agree. Keep going Let's with butcher the way
that it. We keep saying it.
One out of four. We can't be all wrong.
You know what, John? If you're a fan of the show, just reach out. Tell us how to say your last name.
No, I do. I have to ask. Are you making a bit here, Jarvis?
Nope.
Okay. Go
I'm
ahead.
Pretty sure it's
it is not
John Leguizamo.
Nope.
Are you sure?
200%
sure. we're gonna just, you know, breeze right on past that. Filming locations we have. It was filmed in many different places: Phoenixville, Kennett Square in Pennsylvania, New York City, Philly, and of course they had like one scene where they had to fly all the way to Paris just to go get people, you know, speaking French. They're just like, we need people speaking French. We need a trip to Paris.
We have $3 million of budget left. What do we do with it?
No, I'm you're serious. Paris. They went to Paris for that scene?
Yes. Yes.
You needed two guys that spoke French and then like a track of French people.
And honestly, they could have gone to Canada much closer for French.
That is true.
Hey, you know what? I'm not hating on them. Get that vacation any way that you can. You know what I mean?
Dude, no wonder the housing market crashed.
Eat the rich.
Yeah, no wonder the housing market crashed.
All right, so this leads into our taglines for today. We have two taglines.
Let it be something good, please.
So our first one, we've sensed it. We've seen the signs. Now it's happening.
Remember my movies that were good.
Yeah. Can I get you to come see these by referencing my other movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they really shoehorned that one in, huh?
Yeah.
Stuart was little.
And wait, now it's a village that's happening, but you might get old.
Oh, he's referencing his other movies. Uh-huh. Oh.
Please, for the love of God, don't split before the credits.
That's no. it. That's what's happening.
I was like, okay, I didn't catch that. And I'll tell you why. Because I was too busy focusing on the fact that no one sensed it.
Uh-huh.
No one saw it coming.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what the fuck that tagline was talking about.
I didn't know what the fuck was happening.
So is this canonically one universe?
All of his stuff?
I know that three of his movies are, right?
Yeah,
Split, Glass, and Unbreakable, right?
Yeah, they're all the universe. I think those are the only ones.
It's essentially a trilogy, almost.
Sixth Sense, Signs, and Happening. All one universe.
Do you think that Sixth Sense still holds up?
No.
I don't either.
No way.
I haven't seen it in years, so I couldn't say.
Do you think Marky Mark did this because he's like, you know, you did one good movie with my brother. Like, let's do a better one. And then he lied to him and said, let's do it. I have just the film in mind.
That's great. Say, how do you mother for me?
Yeah.
All right. Here's our second tagline. The event we could not foresee on a scale we could not imagine.
The fact that this movie will tank.
It didn't.
It didn't. It did eventually. Really well. Well, I mean,
no, it didn't at all. There's movie, no eventually. It you, made the money it made.
You can shit on it. Everybody can shit on it. It made $130 billion or whatever. So
$63 million. $163 million.
Okay, that's why four douchebags yelling about how much it sucks is never going to be a blip on his radar in his giant mansion.
Our loyal listeners will stand up with us against the tyranny of this movie. With that, guys, it's about that time. Bring forth the rhyme. The rhyme, it's that good vibration. Let's do it. So, part one of our plot. We open with clouds. Lots of clouds. Just a tremendous amount of clouds. Really just a good like 3 minutes of clouds. And then we're in New York City. And people suddenly start killing themselves in a type of massive suicide pact. People speculate that it is a bioterrorist attack as the behavior quickly spreads across the northeastern U.S. And then we jump to Philadelphia, where Mark Wahlberg is the smartest science teacher in the world. And his school learns about the event that's occurring in New York. The schools are shut down, and Marky Mark and Julian call their wives to meet them at the train station to leave Philly. And then Julian learns that his wife left Boston and was heading for Princeton. So as the group that they're all with land in a small town, Julian decides to leave his daughter with the eldest Wahlberg to go find his wife, but all of the travelers end up dying when they arrive. There you go. There's the first part.
Yeah. That's why this movie could have been 30 minutes shorter.
Yep.
Honestly, I'm still more concerned about what happened to the bees.
Yeah, we don't talk about the bees very much.
It's what's still happening to the bees, Chris. All right? The bees are disappearing.
I just couldn't take Mark Wahlberg seriously. Have you guys read the article about the bees?
Dude, as a teacher, that was the fakest class I've ever seen. 100% of the students in a Philadelphia school system are engaged in this fucking lesson about bees that Mark Wahlberg... No, it's in Philly.
No,
is it in Philly?
He's in Philly. All the beginning suicides and stuff that happens in New York.
Yeah, I missed that.
And then all of his students think he's like the coolest person. Like he's like sneaking around the room, like, whoa, the vice principal's coming. And like the fakest fucking shit ever. No, there would be like 12 kids sleeping in the back of the class. Someone's texting on their phone. That like. Yeah.
I mean, this movie is what, 15 years old now?
Yeah.
Kids just suck way more, maybe?
No.
Maybe.
No, we've always sucked.
We were in school. We were in school at that exact time.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, I did like his weird conversation with the good looking kid or whatever. That was so weird. It's like, you're going to be beautiful and amazing for the rest of your life. Can't you just pay attention for like 10 seconds? Mm-hmm. And the kid's
he turned that kid's life around in that sentence. He changed that kid's life.
And we got to see it on film.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We should be so lucky. Dude, we started in Andy's room. That's where this shit opened on. Fucking, we opened in Andy's room and then all of a sudden, everyone just starts walking backwards in New York. And I wish they had stopped it right there. I wish that was the whole epidemic. Everyone just starts walking backwards and spouting dumb shit.
In New York.
Babbling bullshit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great epidemic.
Yeah, because that it's like, how can we live like this? We have to every we go walk backwards. We can't do that. We're not ready for this. It's just months of people just going back and forth. How do we fix it?
How can we move forward if we can't?
Oh my god, I love this idea. Can we do like the reverse happening? Is that something?
Yeah. But it's multiple people. It's not just one, unless one of them rises up as a hero.
The rewind.
I will step forward.
Yeah. Just rewind. That would be because he's going with just single word things now, like with old.
Ooh, rewind right? Sounds just mysterious. Rewind.
Yeah, right.
Rewind. Yeah, I like it.
Can we talk about this character development that we get like with all of them?
So what
we,
character development?
Who do you want to start with?
All right, let's start. Let's start with. I feel like there's enough. Let's start with Marky Mark. He is, to me, like the wimpiest dude. Like I just don't understand his character. He's like whiny and wimpy, and like it kind of goes into his wife, who is also really whiny and complainy. Like they just complain about everything. Like I think one of Zooey Deschanel's lines at one point is something like, "Ooh, that's so mean. Why does everybody have to be mean?" It's like something along those lines. I just couldn't stand either of their characters.
Yeah, and I don't think it was, again, that he wrote the character, the whole screenplay with Mark Wahlberg in mind as a lead role. And I'm going to pull out another piece of trivia here. Apparently, Mark Wahlberg regrets working on this movie, but he said, "You can't blame me for wanting to try to play a science teacher. At least I wasn't playing a cop or a crook."
You know what? I can vibe with that, because usually...
No, I can blame
Mark Wahlberg.
The science teacher portion was for 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That is it. It's not like like him being a science teacher.
Then he's just
the
a confused guy. What's going on?
Why?
I don't get it.
No.
I don't understand. What's going on?
No. Science.
I can vibe with him on that, because he usually does get typecast into like those cops and like different kinds of roles like that. So like him being like, "No, I want to like try to like venture out and be like an intelligent person, like try something different where I'm not just typecast into the same thing."
Yeah, and I think that probably was actually the biggest negative for him for this movie, because he came in as Mark Wahlberg, and they probably had to consistently say, no, you're a science teacher. You're not that big. Like, be smaller, be nerdier, be more vulnerable. And he was like, "I'm going to do my best here." And he's like, "Oh, but what do I do?" And they're like, "That's it. That's big guy makes funny noise. That's it." That's so dumb.
I just had to think of all the kids he picked on in fucking middle school. He's what would that pussy do in this situation, huh?
I think the problem with Mark Wahlberg is he's not a very talented actor. So he's very a one-dimensional person. So like if he's not being the douchebag in the movie, he doesn't really know what to do. You can't give him like these multi-dimensional roles.
I wish we could have him on the podcast so we can just be like, "Well, actually, Dan, that's very great that you said that, because, you know, in psychology, there's this concept," and he goes into like a tirade about
I would
like...
love that.
But at the end, he calls you a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I would love to be called a douchebag by Mark Wahlberg on the show. Like, I wish he would, but I don't. I think he would actually be like, "You know what? Fuck you. You ever been in a fucking movie before?" Like something like
that. Yeah, I think typecasting is shitty. You know, I like that actors try to do something kind of outside of the norm, outside of their lanes. This was not successful, and I think since this point he has very much returned to his roots and stayed there. It's not a bad thing.
Return to his roots like a plant.
Oh god, it's happening.
For fuck's sake. God damn it.
All right, let's move on. Zooey Deschanel. Holy fucking shit.
Whiny as shit.
From the first scene where you see her, right? And it's already kind of implied that they're having, you know, difficulties within their marriage. And then she's sitting on the couch, and the way she's fidgeting, I'm just watching New Girl.
Uh-huh.
I can't focus on her at all. I cannot take her seriously. She's so completely two-dimensional in this character. It drives me fucking nuts.
What's a fun thing I noticed, pretty much if you... like all of her facial expressions throughout this entire movie. It looks like she just shit her pants, but she's hoping no one notices.
Yeah, no, it's like this weird side eye kind of thing. No, she's tapping. She's just fidgeting the whole time. She even, like, I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but like when they're in the train station, she says this line to the little girl whose character I think is actually named Jess.
Yes, that's
the little girl. She's like, you know, because, you know, the little girl's kind of going through. She doesn't understand what's going on. And she's, by the way, not great in this either. Like, kids are always kind of a hit or miss, but this one.
She refuses.
It's a miss.
Yeah.
It wasn't a victory. We'll put it that way. But anyway, she's like, you know, she's hanging on to Dad and she's a little scared. And Zoe goes, don't worry. I don't like to show my emotions either. That's the exact, like, that was just, I think she ad-libbed. I think she ad-libbed after Shyamalan gave her character, like, what her character background was. I think that whole thing was ad-libbed. Just so we, the audience, knew for sure that she was guarded. She doesn't show her emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or also for that moment when she shows up at this train station, like the camera like panned to like where she was, just made it seem like she was like the killer of the slasher movie, or like she's like the stalker. Like how it just slowly pans and it's just her face like, hey, like that was probably the creepiest part of the movie for me.
Like all around, this movie just felt like a mess. Like there was a scene where, and again, I'm jumping ahead too here, but just speaking of Zooey Deschanel's character, which, by the way, I want to preface by saying I like Zooey Deschanel and like different things, like New Girl. She's very funny.
She's fantastic.
Yeah. I think she's like 500 Days of Summer. I love Zooey Deschanel in that. But anyway, there's like a weird scene where like Mark Wahlberg is like comforting Jess when right after they find that the nerdy math teacher who only speaks in statistics and math riddles dies. And like Zooey Deschanel doesn't go over to comfort everyone. She just stands by herself and cries, and the camera just pans on her as she's just crying over by herself. And it's just a really weird shot. Like it feels stalkerish. Like I don't, it's very bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre.
There's also a lot of weird camera close-ups in this.
Yes.
It's almost like it was shot by people who shoot like reality TV shows. Like they just so happened to find her crying by herself, and they were like, "Oh, can
camera three? Yep.
Can you cry a little harder?"
I think they focus on all the wrong things, right? Because the other thing is the dialogue between Northeasterners in a crisis scenario is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
The polite, the agreeable, transactional kind of exchanges and dialogue, fucking bullshit.
I thought they were just about to get somewhere with the train conductors when they get off the train, and they're all like, this is the last stop, get the fuck out of here. And I was like, oh yeah, this is it, this is the right character. And then it goes back and he's like, but tell me more. And they're like, yes, absolutely. We lost contact.
Yeah.
With who? Everyone.
My grandma.
They're not going to be that kind. They're like, I just got off a 19-hour shift. We're done. Like, this is it.
Yeah, that train conductor would have been like, motherfucker, get the fuck out of my face. What I just said.
Dude, more than that, why is the giant crowd of people being so quiet and attentive and kind and calm in this scenario? The fuck that would happen? Absolutely not.
And this is all people from Philly.
This one at a timing, they're like, everyone's waiting to hear what Marky Mark has to say, or and no one goes up to the train conductors except him. It doesn't make any sense.
The directing, I don't know if it's weird,
right? It's not lazy writing as much as it is like just it's not directing smartly with using common sense.
Yeah.
The most realistic that we got was when everybody was told we should just go over to that like empty plot of land over that general direction where things aren't happening, and everybody got in their car and just left Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Like that's that is true. Everyone's like, see you.
That at the diner, his famously bad performance really starts picking up speed at the diner.
Yeah, it really does.
There's weird parts where like with timing where like they're in a rush. There's some sort of epidemic going on. And, you know, weirdly, we've all been through a pandemic now. So like, we know what these emergencies kind of feel like. And like, they're just like so calm about like moving through this, right? They have like their side conversations where he's like, did you tell him about us? I did. But he guessed it. I'm sorry. I don't want to be exposed. Please don't tell him about us.
It just goes to show that bitches will always make it about themselves, even in the face of global catastrophe.
I just think Zooey Deschanel's character was written very poorly. And then to add to Jarvis's point about like the crowds being so weird and off, there's a scene where like it's almost to just throw us some more horror and something interesting happened. The lady's like, look at my phone. Look at what happened at the zoo. And is just specifically talking to Mark Wahlberg, who she doesn't know and she's never met. And there's no reason for her to talk to him specifically, but she's just like, hey, Mark, check out my phone. Look at this guy getting his arms ripped off by this lion. And no one's reacting appropriately to it either.
I feel like this was real people trying to talk to Mark Wahlberg. They're like, how do I get Mark Wahlberg's attention? Hey, you want to see a guy get his arms ripped off by a lion?
You might have something there, pal. I'm not kidding. Because that's how it feels. Everyone doesn't want to like overstep Mark, I guess, in this movie. Because like that scene is perfectly logical. Like, you know, you're sitting at a bar, you get this video on your phone, you would want to show everyone, but it wouldn't be like so calm just to the guy next to you. You'd be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then people would crowd around you. What? Because everyone's looking for information. There's simple fixes to these things, man, but it's just directorially. M. Night did a bad job. That's all it is. I don't know what the word is, but it wasn't good.
No, it's okay. You're a Southern hit in there. It's okay. It's just directorially, I gotta say.
Oh, let me do declare.
Let me delve in real
quick. I do declare.
Hey, be careful out there, bro. You too, bro. Go Birds. Go Birds.
There you go.
There you go.
Now you're back.
Now I'm back.
Go Phils.
I feel like we could talk about this for ad nauseum. But yeah, let's move to the second part of this. So Victor Sullivan, Zooey Deschanel, and a math teacher's daughter then decide to hitch a ride with a hot dog loving pothead and his wife. The pothead theorizes that it's the plant causing all of this because they are releasing airborne toxins, which stimulates neurotransmitters and causes humans to kill themselves. The group meets up with another group, and Mark figures out that being in a large group is causing nature to release the neurotoxins, and it's not creating good vibrations. Josh and Jared get shot in the head at some point because they won't leave someone stoop.
You just couldn't help yourself. You couldn't do it. You couldn't get through the whole recording.
The way you read that was like you were doing an eighth grade class presentation. You're like, and he couldn't see the good vibrations. And that's my story.
Yeah, I had to hold back my chuckle when I read Josh and Jared.
So at this point, John Leguizamo's, or whatever his fucking name is.
John Louisiana. Dead, right? Gotcha.
John Louisiana. John Louisiana's dead, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he told his last math riddle. He told his last statistics, and he died.
All right. Let me tell you something.
60% of the time, you die 100% of the time. Got it.
This movie made me not trust math nerds. All right. You people, I don't trust you. I'm talking to you, Dan. I'm talking to you and John Louisiana because of him, right? Because John Linguiziamiamo, all right? Because this fucking guy gives out these bullshit statistics, right? Because that's his thing, right? So what I suspect that M. Night did, because this is still relatively early in his career, right? What he does is he throws weird curveball scenarios or character traits to kind of like spruce up the script or make someone a little more interesting. For instance, the hot dog guy, the pothead. Like, he makes this whole thing about hot dogs, right? And it kind of like shifts the perspective of the scene. The same is true for John's character with the math probabilities, but they're fucking made up. So it's just some guy saying ridiculous statistics that have absolutely, they are founded in no fact. So it's just lazy writing. And then the mood ring, but I mean, we're, yeah, oh, that's Jesus irrelevant Christ, right now. Mood ring.
I was horny.
I got out of that story. Remember when I was horny that one time, Zooey? Remember, Zooey? Zooey?
I'm going to talk about this in front of this small child.
Yeah. That kid's like, what? You let me hold your ring. What are you talking about?
This is a cock ring? What?
Oh, wait a second. I forgot. John Louisiana is so mean to Zooey Deschanel. Like, she'll just be like, all right, good luck out there. And he's like, I hope you fucking die in hell.
I will fucking kill you myself, you stupid whore. That's absolutely
like, every time they talk, I'm just like, what the fuck? Jesus Christ.
I know this is like an earlier film, right? And I mean, it's, we're fairly far in the future, but I was exhausted by the time that we get to like the pothead's house. Because it's so on the nose, right? We get it. You know, we get the analogy. Pollution is bad. People are bad. I didn't need a lecture. We get it with the visual of like the greenhouse in the forefront and then the nuclear silos factory pouring out pollution into the air in the background. Like, we get it. We understand. We understand the symbolism. It's just, I'm so tired of it.
I think my issue with it, it basically, you know, reveals the twist of the movie, I think at this point, only like a third of the way through.
Are we calling it a twist?
He probably refers to it as the twist. Is that, yeah, you know, the plants killing everyone.
They kind of like lay it out like right away. They're just kind of like, yeah, it's the plants. Anyway.
Yeah.
Here's some videos of a guy getting run over by a lawnmower.
I think the twist is that this is a bad movie.
Yeah.
It fooled everyone.
Like, it's not a good twist, but I mean, come on, don't give me the twist of the movie only a third of the way through.
Yeah, it's mentioned kind of offhanded. He's like, no, it's probably the plants. And everyone's like,
probably the plants. Do you want a hot dog?
But help us, Mark. How do we fix it, Mark? And he's like, I'm a high school science teacher. What do you want from me?
In quotations.
Yeah, in quotations.
I think Al Gore was just stroking himself off in the movie theater. Like, oh yeah. I really think.
I told you it was real.
Now, there's an interesting line that, a quote from M. Night Shyamalan. And a couple days before the reviews started coming out online, he tells a newspaper, we're making an excellent B movie. That's our goal. Did he do it?
Yes. If that was his goal, yes. In my opinion.
Was it a pun?
I also...
Because of the bees?
We never found out about the bees!
This is actually the precursor to Bee Movie. Starring Jerry Seinfeld? Is that right?
Fantastic movie.
Wait, is this the sequel to Bee Movie?
Bee Movie.
Don't know if he was going for a pun there.
No.
I do know, however, he plays Joey in this, which is like the voiceless character that we don't get, that Zooey Deschanel was almost fucking. That's him.
They got tiramisu once.
You got to stop being so weird, dude.
Yeah, well, I went to the pharmacy one time and I asked for cough syrup.
Oh my God, that's I didn't have a cough. So uncomfortable. Like, both of their scenarios.
Then I followed her home.
I cut off her head and wore a piece. Both of those scenarios were so fucking weird. Like, just non-nothings. Like, I had tiramisu with some random guy. I didn't tell you about it. It's like,
she specifically said I lied about it. She's like, I specifically told you that I was working late that night. And
but like, why would you lie about that? Like, you're not like, I guess the implication is that she's.
Yeah. Yes. The implication is that she was readying herself for that.
For the tiramisu, if you will.
Yeah. For the tiramisu.
Yeah.
So I get it. But at the same. But I also see kind of where you guys are at, because like, the reveal and like the conflict is kind of weightless. Like, it'd be one thing if like she was actively cheating on him with this individual. You know what I mean? Like, then it would actually be like real conflict that he would have to like search within himself to see if they can come out to like some romantic ending. But it's not. It's kind of like, it's kind of tongue in cheek. They make it almost cutesy and it leaves nothing. It's just empty.
Yeah. And he gets over it really fast.
Yeah.
He's like, how could you? Anyway.
Anyway,
I think
I didn't have a cough.
Yeah.
I think the last thing I'll say in reference to like kind of the second part, right? Because this is where like it's starting to pick up steam. Like, we understand kind of what the monster is, right? What the looming presence is. But it's just in this movie, because of the way it's shot, it is impossible to make the wind intimidating or interesting.
In your opinion,
with that point in mind, I was honestly taken out of the movie as soon as I was like logically thinking, wait a second, you can't just block air from coming in. It's gonna get in, dude.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. It's like you can't just suffocate yourself. And
Dan, he's a science teacher. He would know.
This is true.
He would know. I think the music's wrong. Yeah. I think they had to pick a lane. It's either like dark gothic classical, right, to build suspense and like dread as they're running, or you go the other way and go Andy Rooney, because some people think this, some people think that this is like a secret masterpiece. There are like legitimate Reddit threats as early as 4 months ago that submit that this is a actually like a meta movie that knew exactly what it was doing, and it's smarter than you, the audience.
You know what? I think I agree.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
You guys just aren't smart enough. All right, so for the last part of our little plot here, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch stumble upon a house with an eccentric and paranoid older woman who eventually is killed by the wind. The Funky Bunch hide in the house thinking that they're going to die, and then they don't. 3 months later, we have some good vibrations as Zooey Deschanel is happy to be pregnant by Mark. On television, Expert basically says that this was the first blip on a larger scale epidemic, which is on the rise, and we see that is true as people who are speaking French then commit suicide. And then we fade back to the clouds. And that's it.
The only redeeming quality of this movie is it was not afraid to show snippets of pretty decent carnage.
Clouds. Yep. Oh, I really thought you were going to say
decent awesome clouds. Clouds.
I really felt like I was in church, like, you know, singing a hymn, like the clouds are in the background. And it's like you're just singing Amazing Grace or something.
Nope. Yeah. Don't have that kind of memory. Good job.
Cool. Yep. All right. Sorry.
But instead of church, let's talk about the lawnmower scene.
That was awesome.
Jesus Christ, that was awesome.
Mowed over.
Yeah, apparently they had a good one that we didn't get to see. I mean, I didn't get to see. I didn't have the DVD with the extended edition that had gruesome versions of the lion attack and a porch shooting. Or no, and the porch shooting scene, which we did kind of discuss it. But yeah, they did go ahead and shoot some kids in the head, didn't they?
They sure did. Yeah. Are you saying there's extended scenes of
there
that?
There are extended scenes.
Oh, hell yeah. I would definitely check that out. Unfortunately, this movie really, like, each scene is worse than the last in this, like, part three, as it were. And what's worse is that, like, on top of, like, the environmentalism and, you know, the different narratives they're showing, it's also, like, an attack against, like, the right wing in a little bit, like, all the red states. Because what was really embarrassing was the army doofus. Telling them, like, you can't go that way, and, like, he's fucking stupid. They're in Arendelle, which, by the way, is where Frozen is, which was confusing. And then they show, like, little snippets of, like, doomsday preppers, like, prepping fucking arsenals of weaponry, like AK-47s and shit. Like, everyone has that in their fucking garage. Like, it almost felt racist.
It's funny that you say that. I thought it was actually more poking at, you know, big cities like Philadelphia and New York, and like talking about how we need to get into smaller communities, and that's like a good thing. So I saw it more as like these big cities are ruining the country. We should be like breaking off into smaller communities, and like that's like, so it's funny that you saw it from that perspective, because I saw it from that perspective. So
I see it. I see what you're saying. Like that's the only way that they were able to like carry on was to lessen their footprint.
Like they actually had an article that said Philadelphia murder rates on the rise, and I was like, okay, Donald Trump, chill out.
Bad things happen there. That's what I hear.
Bad things do happen there.
Bad things happen at old ladies' houses too.
That is what?
Why you eyeing my lemon drink? Why you eyeing my lemon drink sounded oddly sexual. And she may be the weirdest character in this whole film.
So weird.
Because she's absolutely bipolar. She flips on a dime. Her character is that she's like renounced the outside world, and yet she takes them in like insistently almost, and then just berates them and gaslights them. Uh-huh. And then before bed, because she offered them a room, she accuses Marky Mark of like about to steal all her shit and murder her. This lady has a kink. That is absolutely a home invasion sex fantasy. What? No, ma'am, no.
No, we're not.
Imagine that in that context.
No, I got that. I think that's what they want. She comes out like, yeah, a little nighty, and she's like, don't steal my stuff. How dare you?
Don't kill me in my sleep. I would hate that.
So, like, the slave tubes that they were talking through? Like,
yes.
Kind of uncomfortable, right? But, like, it was a good analogy, right? That they had, like, that thing that was separating them, and they wanted to come closer. But I love that suicide pollen was useless against the power of true love. That was literally on the brink of divorce, like, mere hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to ask, why did they subject the kid to their, like, weirdly poetic death gesture to one another? Like, she just grabs
her outside.
No, just tell her, stay the fuck here. I'm going to go murder myself for absolutely no reason, because they didn't know that the, and you know, epidemic was complete.
It was kind of a weird ending. Kind of weird.
It was awful.
Yeah, the explanation was, I guess we didn't know it ended. And that's pretty much how this movie
ends. That's the
whole thing. Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's how it ends.
Yeah, the audience agrees.
Uh-huh. Well, with that, I'd like to take us over to the Spoopometer Corner. It's now a corner. It's a dirty, dirty corner. Dan,
take me to the corner.
Let's go to the corner. How are we going to rate this thing? How are we going to rate this thing?
All right. So maple trees, right? Right? Maple trees. Yeah, they can live for up to 300 years. So my question to you is, 0 to 300 years, how many years, if you were a maple tree, how many years would it take you to kill off this entire universe? 300 being the best, 0 being the fastest. You're killing it off right away.
Two. So I'm a killer tree.
You are a killer tree. You are one of the plants in this. Yeah. Congratulations.
It's two for me. This movie has no scares. No, the everything about, like, the anxiety or anything else that might be trying to, like, it's all bad. Mark Wahlberg ruins all of it constantly with his face. I think it's just his face, and
just a stupid fucking face.
I don't mean to absolutely shit on Mark Wahlberg, but I think I can. He's got billions of dollars at this point, so I think that's okay. But it's just two. That's it.
Yeah, a year and a half. Is not a good movie. Like I said before, if there was no death on screen at all, this would be a comedy and nowhere near like a horror or thriller movie. Yeah, 2 years of murdering everyone.
I'm going to give it a 3 because that's exactly 1% of your scale, Dan. it's not a horror movie. It could be a comedy. I think a slight twinge in the music. It's a disaster movie at best with some particular brutality. So I'll give it a 3 because the lawnmower scene was really good. And it's amazing in that it's so bad you can't not watch it and you can't not get other people to watch it. But other than that, awful. 3.
I'm going to give it a nice 150 years. I'm going to give it right in the middle. So because that would give me like about a 5 out of 10, right? So I thought it was really funny. And the worst part was the ending, because it kind of just drug on there for a little bit, but I was just cracking up throughout the whole movie. So if he was trying to make a comedy, fucking gold, go see this shit. If he was trying to make a horror movie, if it was a horror, 6 months, but as a movie to sit and watch and laugh at. Yeah. I'll give it that 150.
And your points are valid. I appreciate them, but yeah, no, it's just at best, like you said, it's a B-roll. It's a B-movie. It's just a Jerry Seinfeld B-movie. Maybe watch it with your friends. Don't watch it alone, like we all probably had to do.
Don't watch it on purpose.
Yeah, correct. With that, I want to thank you for trying to stay with us while we're doing this. Thank you for just listen to the, you know, honestly, listen to us like 100 times. Just keep those listens coming in. Love that. You know, find us on all the social medias. I also want to thank Andrew Cavanaugh and Connor McLeod. You can see all their info in our description. And Chris, yeah, what do you want to say to all the homicidal plants out there?
Thanks for stopping by and having a horrible time.